been lots of fun back in your day. It was mine. We used to walk miles and miles to hang them all month long, not just the first day in May.
Well, I don't recall it. I walked any great distance. We used to go across the bridge, but most of our friends were, you know, we lived here in the village, and it wasn't like it would be outside in the farming district. But we always looked forward to May Day, and we spent a lot of time with the bright colored papers making our hay baskets. And sometimes we had homemade candy to put in. But we always had the little candies, printed candies, round shapes and heart shapes, various shapes, with different sentiments, short sentiments printed on them. We called those love tags. And we had more fun than anybody could express. I mean, it was a great time for us. And we'd run our legs off, and oftentimes stub our toes, and when they were chasing us from the door.
Of course, did you have to have supposed to have a kiss back in those days when they caught
us? If they caught us. We got a kiss, unless they were mad.
Well, Rip speaks about the church being a great gathering place for young people.
Yes, there was a time when, of course, we used to always have the Christian Endeavor in those days. And I think Harriet could tell you more about those Christian Endeavor.
How about it, Harriet?
Oh, some of those funny old fellows.
I don't think I could.
You'd meet on Sunday night, I suppose, or during
the week? They met on Wednesday night, didn't you? Or was it Thursday night? Christian Endeavor?
Mm-hmm.
What night?
Well, usually had it. The young people. Christian Endeavor Sunday afternoon.
Oh,
yeah. After we'd had Sunday school, and then we went back over to the church and had young people's Christian Endeavor service.
No, I remember it was a midweek. I don't remember what night that I used to go to Christian Endeavor.
Well, I think perhaps yours was you went to the older people's Christian Endeavor, because they always had that one.
They always had what they call a leader. That's what they call somebody that led, you know. And in your day, well, I remember Mr. Boyden and his prayers. Mm-hmm. He always offered prayer. Mm-hmm. Who else had it?
Mr. Ben Walker used to be, you know, almost always there. That was even before the time when you were thinking of.
Yeah.
And of course, Mr. Crabtree, after the Crabtrees came there, he was always one of the ones that helped out Christian Endeavor. And Mrs. Crabtree also.
Very often it was a lady that was the leader.
Yes.
You know, was the leader for the meeting. And then
Mrs. Perry was one of the ladies that was to do a great deal for the church. She was one of the leaders.
Yeah, that's right.
I suppose you had sliding parties, sled parties, things of that type, candy bowls.
Oh, yes. We had sled parties and candy bowls. That crowd had candy bowls, too.
Play post office and all that sort of thing, or did
they
call that?
No, we never played post office much. I guess maybe we didn't care too much for post office. But we did love the we loved the cornrows. I remember one cornrows. I was speaking to Ray about it the other day. I asked him if he remembered that particular one. He said, no, not that one. But he said, I remember we used to go down there on cornrows. We went down off Harding Street, down the end of Harding Street, what we call Chesapeake in those days. It's really gone now. They've taken it all out for sand. We used to go there in the winter to slide, too. Great place to slide. It was quite steep. And this time, it's hard to me to describe it now. I know we were going along the way, there was a part of an old rail fence. And all of a sudden, Ray, this was on the way into the cornrows, he threw a rock just as high as he could throw it. And he dashed out of the path and picked up this passage. Well, we all thought, oh my soul, that's wonderful. He was a real hero, or whatever you might call it.
This is Ray Emerson.
Yeah. And come find out, he had shot the passage and placed it. We all thought, you know, when Ray threw that rock and come out with that partridge, he was really something. And I remember the corn was quite often pretty smoky and not cooked too well, but it tasted good to us. And then, as I say, we used to go sliding down there and skating on the lily pond, which is no more now. I guess it's a sloppy place down in there, a foggy place. But that was a real, you just can't imagine going down the day. That was a nice little pond for all the town kids to skate on.
Can you tell us some stories about Merrill and your sister Kitty? Katie, or whatever you call her. Yeah. Of course, Merrill, my connection with him was through Hook Point, Mercury.
Yeah. Well, we used to have relatives over in Oakfield. I can remember, I was speaking about this the other day, and now I want to go over there visiting. So, he went over, and I don't know, he was gone 2 or 3 days. He was supposed to go over there, I guess, for a week. I don't know if he's even gone 2 or 3 days. And he, of course, couldn't telephone me. So he wrote a note home, and he said, send me a dollar and I'll come home quick.
Home.
He got home quick. there's lots of things.
He was a great outdoorman, fishing and
hunting. Oh, yeah. And Merrill, like all of our family, great lovers of poetry. Father could recite whole cantos of Scott. He just loved Scott. And Merrill was always reciting poetry.
That's where Bill gets it, maybe.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Funny how traits like that would be handy.
And,
well, you must remember the tannery days then.
Oh, yeah. We remember the tannery days. I guess we do. We remember the fire. When the tannery burned, oh.
Frightening.
Oh, it was frightening in those days, I'll tell you. We didn't have the wonderful volunteer fire department we have today, and most of us really appreciate what they do.
One of the whole town did.
Yeah. We remember all the of the foreigners, mostly, what were they, did we say, Armenians?
Oh, quite a number of Armenians, anyway.
All the foreigners that worked out there. And go to the post office, and they'd be down in the post office all sending their money home or getting the mail or something. Be just crowded with them, and it was just, and the tannery, you know, was a very ill-smelling place. You'd have to hold your nose and went in the post office. Okay.
I've heard them speak of the Chautauquas.
Show I used to have at the opera house. Yes, the Chautauquas were really very nice. But I can't say too much about them. But way ahead of the Chautauquas
were
some of the shows they put on it.
Local talent.
Yes, all. I mean, previous to the Chautauquas. What's the name of that one, Harry? Old Maid. What was the name of that show? I can't remember. When they put...
All local talent. It
was awful funny.
Old Maid something. Convention.
Old Maid's Convention, sure. And it was just awful.
It was very funny.
Yeah. Can you remember that about them putting the in the big box and turning the crank?
Yeah. I can't remember just how it was, how they did it.
Yeah, it was something. And then they had local talent shows all right along up to the, and I remember when Etta Pomeroy. Etta Pomeroy, the Jellison girl's mother, Etta Pomeroy, and who was it used to sing with Etta? Virge, wasn't it?
I guess Virge did sing.
And that group, you know, Liz Taylor and all of them were in it. Then later there was we had a Jewish family here, there was a Mamie and Daisy Klein, and they used to sing and dance. And still later than that, we had the minstrel shows in schools. I do it every year for a while. Ray could probably tell you something about those.
The hotel used to be where Carrie Bishop's. No, Mom's place.
Mm-hmm.
That must have been quite a thing. I've
heard. Then there was another, I called it the boarding house that Whalen's had that burned. It was on the other side of the street, and I couldn't just place where it was now.
Now, did John Webb drive the hack back in those days, I suppose? I can remember.
Oh, yeah.
First
yeah. Because we jumped from very early days.
Yeah.
Much later.
Where did Morris come into the picture, Nancy? He went through high school and then what?
He came into the picture
quite a while ago. He was from Patton.
Yeah.
And Kit lives where now? Tracy.
Yeah.
Your sister, yeah.
Well, she and Tom for a while lived here. They had a little, you might call it an apartment today, way upstairs. And later they lived up in, yes, they lived there, and then they lived up in what we call a Britain house. It's I think the town owns now, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think
so. I don't know who lives there. They lived there for a while.
My last rent
and then,
was over there.
And then my last rent was over where Hazel Pettingill lived, over the village.
Then they moved outside, must have.
And they moved to Saco.
Saco. Well, you've seen a lot of water go under the bridge, haven't you?
Quite,
a lot of changes.
Quite a lot. She's seen six more.
I lived away so many years, you know, that really I didn't keep track of what was going on after that. I was all for a long time, you know, between times when I would get home for just a short while.
But isn't it great that now that you've
been there? Things changed so very much since then.
There's been a lot of
funny things happen. This old house could speak, could
tell a lot of stories.
Of course, you've seen the train come and go,
and
you've seen the
mm-hmm.
highway
go in. Yeah. And things that seemed so funny to us then wouldn't seem, you know, if you tried to tell them, they don't sound very funny.
The railroad came so the year I was born, in 94. And that also in September 94, our church cornerstone was laid, and I believe Harriet is perhaps the only one living who was there at the laying of that cornerstone.
I remember that very distinctly. I went with Aunt Sarah. Mother couldn't go because she was going to have this baby, you know.
This baby.
And so I went with my Aunt Sarah, and she impressed it upon me that I should always remember the laying of the cornerstone.
You have.
And you know, as I remember, they put in that stone a record of what had been done
they do
previously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know
someday
just why they did that.
They do that now, I believe.
They do.
Yeah.
They must have thought that sometime or other somebody might find that record.
Mm-hmm.
But I've often thought of it and wondered just what they wrote. Well, Fred said he remembers about it. I think he said he was there. I thought that I was the only one, but I was talking with him about it, and he said he thinks he went to the lane of cornerstone.
Must have been quite an occasion.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, I can remember back to when the woods came right up there back of Aunt Lizzie's.
Yes,
that's where Mrs. Campbell lives now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was all woodsy up there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when Father cleared the land over there at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was out there in the woods with what playmate, I don't recall, but there were two of us out there picking Benjamin. I was out there after wildflowers. I was out there every year after violets and Benjamins and tadpoles. Oh, those places that, you know, where the stumps have been pulled out, there'd be water and lots of little tadpoles, catching a tadpole. And the fire that came right down through Starkey up there on Station Street. And I remember hearing it and seeing the smoke and rushing home, frightened to death. It went right down through, you know.
Took the school and all that area, but say this part of the town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was frightening.
Oh, it was awful. It was terrible. That burnt the old Craig homestead. That's where Ron Dwight was.
Then extended that fire beyond the school.
Yeah.
Out for
oh,
Ross
yeah.
Fire.
I don't remember how many houses it
was. The Sherman place must have been spared.
Mm-hmm. They are. But the very first building in the Island Falls was there, well, the Sherman place. And the part of the old building put into the, when they built over. Mm-hmm. Out back there, the part of the original building. I remember Father used to tell things that some of his stories frightened me. Because he told about when they were putting the railroad through, there were all kinds of characters. And one night, he said, the paymaster, I guess some of them threatened him. He had a lot of money. And this man got frightened. He said they were after him. And he got frightened. He came right in our front door and went way to the attic, way up into the attic, to hide away from him. And Fatty's told about that, and that used to always frighten me. And then on our trips, we used to go, for a few years, we went every summer or early fall up to Masabi's. And we had a couple of horses and a big old buckboard. We got there to visit the Weekses up there. Mother's sister.
Quite a trip.
And we'd leave at 6 in the morning and plan to be up there for a late supper. Mm-hmm. And of course stop to eat a picnic dinner and feed the horses. And Mara said that was quite a day for horses. So up there in the day. And when we go up there through the woods, he'd tell about the murder over here in the Dyerbrook Woods. You've heard about that.
Right.
Dead Man's Hall. And it seems though he always told about the one down there with the covered bridge, I think, at Mattawamkeag, where a man was murdered and thrown out through the window. I don't know why it always seemed to come up when we'd be riding up through the woods.
Strange, I don't know.
Yeah, the living daylight about all the
things that she remembers, I don't remember.
Yeah, so.
I do remember we always used to stop and look, seems to always up across quite a field to see the two graves where the men had perished in their lumber camp with the fire. Do you remember that?
Oh, that was Marshall, who those boys were. Marshall? Who were the two, but wasn't in the field, right side of the road?
One of our stops there.
What was the name? The two boys that burnt up on the road.
Booty.
Booty. Were they brothers?
I don't know.
Well, we knew where the graves were, right up the side of the road for a long while, but we couldn't place it now.
That is a handstone woods.
No, oh, no.
Tombstone everywhere. Yes,
I say.
Now, did you travel the Aston Road, I suppose? What is the Aston Road now? Yeah.
Well, they were in the camp. Just these two fellows alone. No one knows what happened, but the camp got fire and they burned. Oh, they probably were tired.
Working in the woods from daylight to dark. Well, that took what Fred say, $1 a day? Something like
that. Less than
that,
probably.
Less than that.
Yes. Because the men, good pay in those days was, $30 a month?
Oh, that is. No, I remember when it was $30 a month was big pay. The woods. Mm-hmm. But my father fell. And we worked for $12 a month.
A month.
They worked hard. They worked hard.
Well, I cut the wood. First year out of high school. They paid. They didn't pay anybody over $35 a month, and those were the best men.
But young people don't know it, nor well, the kids today don't realize anything about it.
No, they
just don't know. Good thing they don't, yet I wonder sometimes. When did you get into the druggist business, Mark? Where did that come into being?
Well, when I left here.
I wanted to hear about this mode of travel and your trip west and so forth.
Well, I was, in 1919, I was in Bangor. I went to Beale Business College for a few months. And in the spring, I went up to Old Town. Now I came home, and when I got... Yes, I guess I applied for the job before I left. And when I got home, they called me up and told me, or opened a letter, sent me a telegram. That's what they did. Says, why not come to Old Town, prepared to go with us, providing we can come to an understanding. So to Old Town I went. And the next day I was on my way to Mitchell, South Dakota. And they did use for years the horses, but they had cars then. And in 19, I picked it up there. Well, I stopped off in Kalamazoo, Michigan to work a couple of days with another man, and then I went on to Mitchell, South Dakota. I picked up a Studebaker, 1917 Studebaker, panel body all painted. And I could tell the story too.
Well, I think you should.
Anyway, I headed back to Minnesota, southern Minnesota. I worked through Minnesota all that summer. I wound up in North Dakota, in October. They wrote to me and wanted me to go on Montana for the winter. And I wrote back and said I'd be glad to go if that is their wish, but I said that I understand conditions in Montana are not good. They're sending a lot of the horses back to Dakota. There was no feed. So they came right back and said they looked in and I was right. They would appreciate it, let me know. But they said, anyway, you stay as long as you think advisable and come home, and we think we've got something interesting for the winter for you. So I came home for Thanksgiving. And they told me that they'd have me go down through the south, which I did. I started out in Williamsburg, Virginia, and worked to down to in Georgia. Oh, I forget the town I was last in, but not far from Augusta, Georgia. And then I came back the 1st of April and helped them in the factory. They had a big order going to Germany. I helped them get that. And then on 1st of May, I left for I went to Illinois, Indiana, and started got in a couple, they sent a couple of young folks to the University of Maine. So I worked with each one of those for a few days, and then I went back to Grand Forks, North Dakota, picked up my truck and started out again. I worked that summer through North, South Dakota and into Minnesota. That winter I went to, that fall I went to Texas in November. I stayed there. I worked through Texas and Oklahoma. And along from May I went back to Minnesota.
Now how'd you, what was your mode of travel then?
Car.
Car.
Well, I traveled by train down south, but the south was, I loved it out west, but down south was different. Different. They hadn't got over the Civil War.
No. You were a damn Yankee.
Yeah. I was down in Greenland, South Carolina, it was like, spent the weekend there. It was Saturday. It was a nice little hotel. Anyway, there was a couple of young salesmen like myself. They found out I was in the north. So she couldn't help but give herself away. Although I did get by sometimes.